Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes divorce. No, wait, that's not right. Enter the prenup, a legal document signed before you get married that talks about how you will divide assets and debts and the chance that you decide to part ways. In fact, did you know that there's a 62% increase in prenup agreements that's being driven almost exclusively by millennials? So yes, it might be Valentine's Day, but in this really important reboot episode with family law attorney Carolyn Grimes, you'll learn what a prenup is, why you might need one in the first place, and how to have that really tough conversation. So yes, you can still be in love and have a prenup.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
I've always known about prenups, of course. I studied them when I got my financial planning degree, and I've known quite a few people who have had prenups, but many people ask if I signed one when I got married to Jeff, my second marriage, after losing pretty much everything in my first divorce, which is still really weird for me to say. But honestly, at the time Jeff and I started dating and we got engaged, I was still in a major rebuilding phase, and I didn't have much to lose. But I find most people either love the idea of a prenup and cannot be talked out of it, or hate the idea. For me, it was never a consideration, just because I don't know, it's not right for me, but that doesn't mean it doesn't make it right for you. So Carolyn Grimes, a family law attorney, is joining us today to talk all things prenup, because I know you probably have some burning questions that you want answered, including, when should I ask for a prenup, which I think is a really valid question and one that I find a lot of people are really scared to ask. But as Carolyn laughs, pretty much at the same time you're getting engaged is the right time to have that conversation about the prenup. So Carolyn, I'm excited to have you on the podcast because we're talking about one of those topics, the prenup, that people either seem to have a love or hate relationship with. So I'm excited to have you join us today.
Well, it's great to be here. It is a topic, just like you said, love, hate, and sometimes it stops things before they get started, but hopefully we give some people some tips so they don't fall down that hole.
Absolutely. So obviously the recent news that J-Lo and A-Rod are getting married with that amazing $1 million engagement ring. But now with their sort of separate $100 million fortunes that they have on the line, you say prenup is probably a really good idea for them. For all the rest of us who aren't sitting there with a $1 million engagement ring, how do we know if we're a good candidate for a prenup?
Well, prenuptial agreements can have a lot of value, but at different stages in life, people use them for different things. Young people, you know, when it's going to be their first marriage or their only marriage, depending on how they're planning, tend to use prenuptial agreements because their parents want them to protect family money or family gifts. And then later in life, when people are getting married, perhaps for the second time, they tend to use prenuptial agreements to protect their assets so that their children can have them and not necessarily the new spouse. But there's a lot of complications involving all of that, which we can get into.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine that it's certainly not cut and dry. But walk me through a little bit. So let's see if we can dive in it a little bit. What are some of the intricacies of a prenup? What's typically in a prenup? Maybe what isn't? And what does it actually protect you from?
Well, there are some uniform laws out there, but uniform laws across states aren't necessarily all that uniform. But most prenuptial agreements require that each party disclose all of their assets and their debts, and that they have a chance to each consult individual attorneys, and that they, what we call, not be unconscionable on its face. So for people who are planning on getting married and staying married, it's often the conversation about money that they've been putting off having, and that's when you find out how much loan debt your partner-to-be has or how much credit card debt. But what they typically cover are what assets that you brought into the marriage, are you going to want to keep them separate, or even if you commingle them, are you going to want to be able to make them separate again when you get divorced, what to do about debt, and prenuptial agreements that are later in life cover what I call the three Ds, divorce, disability, and death, because it's important to put in, especially later in life, the terms you have. If one of you dies, what's going to happen to your estate? If one of you becomes disabled, how are you going to handle that in terms of who's going to pay it? And then, of course, for divorce or separation. There's a couple of things that prenups can't cover, and that's basically custody. You can't predetermine custody of your children. And prenups also can't have clauses in there for what we like to politely call meretricious acts, which means sex.
Yes.
So you can't have a prenup that, you know, guarantees the amount of times, you know, everybody will get together each week.
That is fabulous. I love that. I mean, I would imagine as an attorney, you have probably heard just about everything. But so along those lines, I mean, are there just crazy things that people ask for sometimes to be in the prenup? And you're like, no, that can't be in there.
Well, people like to do interesting things, you know, and a lot of the celebrity ones, they have clauses in there that, you know, the parties can only gain so much weight. And then I don't know how they're punished, whether they get divorced immediately, but that seems a horrible clause to put in there. You know, people have things like, no matter what, I'm always going to keep my Corvette. It doesn't matter what else happens. That's not that crazy. But, you know, you can't have clauses in there that say, your mother will never be allowed to visit in our house unless it's the house that you bought. But, you know, people try.
That's fantastic. I love that. I would imagine that there are some pretty crazy things. And you mentioned a little bit that the prenup conversation, I think it makes a lot of people a bit nervous because they haven't had those conversations that they should have about money or about debt, whatever's sort of lingering behind the scenes that maybe they don't want their future spouse to know about. How do you advise newly engaged couples to venture into the topic of prenup to even figure out if this makes sense to them? Is there any situation or anything that you think they should be talking about, at least initially, before they go and see an attorney?
Well, one problem that most people have with prenups is that they wait until the last minute, and then you end up sometimes in a big fight right before the wedding. So if you think you need a prenup, or if your parents are telling you you need one, you need to talk to your intended sooner rather than later. I mean, it's a conversation about money. So depending on the circumstances, you may be talking about money for planning the wedding, and sometimes there's family involvement with that, and that'll lead you to it. And just how you're going to run your household financially, which is an important thing for couples to talk about, whether they're going to have joint accounts or not, or who's going to pay what bill, or who's going to do that. So people often slide into the prenup conversation when they're talking about finances and when they're talking about their parents and what their parents are contributing or not to the wedding. You know, people like to get the wedding gifts from their own side of the family back often. So that's generally how most, you know, regular people who aren't involved in massive estate planning start to talk about the prenup conversation.
Interesting. Yeah. And is there a certain dollar amount that makes the prenup a viable option for you? Or is it just so case specific that if it's something that's really weighing on you and you want to have that conversation, that it, at least you should explore that as an option?
Well, that's a great question. And this gets back to another point that prenups are different depending on which stage of life you're in.
Sure.
You're young and you're going to have children, because that's the thing to consider, because oftentimes people put alimony or spousal support waivers in prenups. It's very common for later in life marriage. But if you put it in when you're young, because you're both thinking, oh, we both have a job and, you know, we'll always be working, but, you know, the woman has to pause at least to have the children. And you may want to have one or the other parent stay home with the kids for a while. And then they won't be building up retirement in their own name and they won't have income. And I've done one where it was two professionals, but they were going to have kids, and they built in a paradigm for if they were married so long and had so many children, whether the wife would get spousal support from the husband. And, you know, that's not a bad idea if you're looking at, you know, if you're going to get divorced in a year, you don't want to pay anybody alimony. If you're going to get divorced, you know, 30 years down the road and one of you has stayed home with the kids for 20 years, you know, that's arguably unfair to have an alimony waiver in there. So that's an everyday decision that affects almost all married couples.
Yeah, that's a great point. I haven't really thought about it that way. And I'd love to know what you're thinking. I mean, when I think back in my parents' generation, you know, prenup wasn't even a conversation that I don't even know if they knew the word when they were getting married. And now it feels like so many people ask me all the time, is a prenup right for me? Should I be considering a prenup? You know, people who are maybe just even rolling out of college and have their first job, but it's become more of a talked about term. What do you think is happening that is changing the conversation where now more people are thinking and talking about prenup?
Well, one thing that's changed, depending on the length of time, is that prenups were illegal a couple of decades ago.
So, really?
Yeah. you couldn't do that. So, and only in certain states did they have them, and then they expanded across the states. I mean, there were, family law varies a lot state by state, and over what is really a short amount of years has changed radically in certain areas. But one reason people think of prenups more is because the divorce rate is much higher than it was, say, in the 50s or the 60s. And, you know, they hear horrible stories about divorces, so they think a prenup is going to solve it. The problem most people really have is that no one ever follows their prenup. And then they mix all their money and you can't trace it out, or this other thing becomes different. So if you're going to take the trouble to have a prenup, you need to have your will and estate planning match it, and you need to actually do it. Because if you say, well, you know, the wife owns a house and the husband doesn't, and the wife is always going to own the house and the husband isn't, is the husband going to pay anything towards the mortgage? Is he going to pay to live there? You have to think of all those practical things. And then if you're not going to commingle your money, don't commingle your money. But that's hard to do over 20 years or 10 years, because most people don't go into marriage thinking, I'm going to get divorced, because what's the point of getting married? They go in thinking they're in there for the long haul. So sometimes a prenup can come back and catch you, and people never have copies of them either. They forget where they are.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We'll get back into talking all things prenup after an Ask Shauna from CK. And CK says, "Hi, Shauna, love your podcast. I recommend it to lots of friends as part of my goal to be more frugal this year. I'm going to graduate from college this spring and I have a job lined up. I'm thinking of getting a new credit card. I already have one to get travel points during my spring break trip. I'm worried about my credit score decreasing right before I have to put down a down payment on an apartment. Should I wait so that I can get a better deal on an apartment? Also, can you explain how travel points work for travel rewards? Thank you so much. I love all your tips." CK, first, congrats on graduating college. That's awesome. Now the real adulting begins. You're probably going to want to climb back into college. I know I certainly did. There's still some times where I'm thinking, if I could just go back to college, that would be so incredibly awesome. But I digress. And totally understand not wanting your credit score to decline. I think that's awesome that you're thinking about that right now. I wasn't thinking about my credit score when I graduated college. So good for you to already have that in mind. And I've talked about this in a recent Ask Shauna, but really the most important factor, I think, is just to know what is your score now, because that is really, I think, what you're going to judge your decision off of. So on average, you should expect about a 5-point decline somewhere in that neck of the woods for a new application for a credit card, which isn't a lot. 5 points is not a big deal for most people, but if you're on that border of a good and great credit score, it might be worth pausing just to make sure that you get the apartment that you want to get and that your credit score is exactly where you want it to be. And then once you take care of that, then you can go ahead and apply for a new credit card. I think the same thing goes for anybody who's thinking about buying a house or something like that. Maybe even buying a car. You're making a big purchase or you're applying for an apartment or something maybe that's super competitive and you want to make sure you have the best score, obviously you need to know what your score is now. And I'm a big fan of just pausing until you actually purchase or get that new apartment, whatever the situation is for you, and then you apply for the new credit. That way you know, just safety first, you know you're going to keep your good score impact. And so as you asked about credit card points, which of course is one of my favorite topics, each credit card has their own different system for how you can earn and how you can use the points and a different point value per dollar spent. So there are a lot of great places like NerdWallet, creditcards.com, so many places where you can match the credit card with your goals and your credit score. So you know that what the credit card you're applying for is actually one that's going to work for you. So you're not just sort of aimlessly applying for credit cards that you may not actually get approved for. Basically, for every dollar you spend, you earn points that then you can redeem for airfare, hotels, car rentals, etc., all sorts of stuff. But I'm a big fan of the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. And no, they don't pay me to say that. I know I talk about them a lot, but I really am a big fan of that card. But Discover and Citi, they also have some really great credit cards. So don't be shy at really looking at the landscape of what's out there and figuring out what are your goals and then what is that card that matches up with that. I also have an airline specific card, which I know a lot of people aren't big fans of, but I do this specifically so I can avoid paying baggage fees because I think it's ridiculous that we have to pay baggage fees. So anywhere we try to travel on an airline that matches up with that card. So then we can save, for two of us, it's $100 per trip that we're saving in baggage fees, which I think is just a no-brainer. But I would say if you aren't spending a lot on your credit card, you might want to go with just a traditional cashback card instead of a straight travel points card. But again, it totally depends on your situation, what your goals are, and really think about which card is going to match up with that before you go ahead and apply.
In a prenup, you can define what you want to do with your money. You can always say, we're always going to have separate accounts, or we're going to have one joint account and we're going to contribute X amount into it to pay the household and buy, you know, XYZ assets from it. Or you can have that in there and ignore it and just, you know, it here, pay it there, and then nothing can be traced back for the prenup. And you may end up with, the house that you owned before you got married, thinking, oh, I'm always going to have that. But then you sell it, you buy another house, each of you starts paying the mortgage with it. And unless you have that circumstance covered in your prenup, you're going to end up losing what we consider the separate nature of the value of the first house because you've commingled it with marital money. And unless it's covered in your prenup, it's going to default to whatever your state law is upon divorce. And you could have made your prenup useless, or worse, you could have ended up stumbling into making it all a gift for the other side. The very thing you tried not to do, if you don't actually follow the prenup and you move all the money around, you're going to basically eliminate the value of the prenup.
Right. So you want to make sure that definitely you dot your I's and cross your T's and everything matches up. And I've heard so many stories of people going through divorce who did have a prenup, and for one reason or not, you know, basically what you're talking about, it was more or less invalidated. So what are some of the ways that you can, other than what we've talked about, work to reinforce the prenup? Is it really just constantly getting advice to make sure that you're following what you initially set up? Or do you ever go back and actually revise prenups?
People can revise prenups, and they do as things go on later in life. And you can, for one thing, which you should probably do, and no one does this, is update your asset list every year that's supposed to be attached to your prenup, because it's a good exercise for everybody to still know what's separate. And if you've created marital money, what's marital, so there's no confusion. And prenups can be revised. You can put a clause in them that they're only good for so long on certain aspects of it. For example, if you're always going to want grandma's jewelry to be yours, but, you know, the house example is a difficult one, especially when you're dealing with people who are younger and are going to have a long marriage. it's difficult to constantly say to your spouse, this is my house, get out, you don't have anything. Money to pay for it. But updating the asset list every year is a good exercise so that you know the prenup is still in effect. Honestly, you can make a prenup really simple or really complicated. It depends on how much level of detail you want in them to how you're going to run your money. If you really want your money to be separate and you only want to make an asset marital when you consciously make it marital, like we both contributed money to buy this new house, therefore it is marital, your prenup has to say that. And let's say you don't have that idea before you get married, but 5 years into the marriage, you decide, well, we want to make this marital. You can amend the prenup. It happens all the time. They're not a prenup then, they're a marital agreement, but same thing.
Very good. And what about, can you put I guess it's not a prenup, but can you put something like a postnup in place of, say, you got married and you didn't have a prenup, but now you decide that's something you want? Or is it you're just out of luck if you didn't set this up in the beginning?
In Virginia, where I practice, you absolutely can. And most states have that provision, postnuptial agreements. And sometimes people separate and they don't really want to get divorced. They have marital settlement agreements that basically it's all about the money. Then, so it's very common. And you don't have to sign it before the wedding. You can sign it after. But usually the one party that wants the leverage of it signed before the wedding is lost once you get married.
Right, exactly. Well, what if, say, you have a prenup in place and then you decide that you're going to divorce? Does it change the process at all? Or are you still, you go hire your attorney and basically you come to the attorney with the prenup and then the attorney advises you best on the prenup, you know, what options you might have?
That's a great question. And that is basically how it works, because prenups can't necessarily cover everything. For example, if you have children, custody isn't covered in a prenup. That's not considered valid to, you know, decide what's going to be the custody of your children before they exist. Custody, child support, whatever is not covered by your prenup still needs to be addressed. What it usually functions as is a partial property settlement agreement, unless you've got one that's absolutely dots every I and crosses every T. But the actual process of getting divorced in terms of whether you have to have a hearing or whatnot, that varies by state. So that doesn't change. What it does is give you an agreement on what are supposed to be generally the big tricky issues, property and spousal support usually.
Got it. All right. Wow. So fascinating. Well, I'd love for you to leave us with one parting piece of advice. If somebody's listening, they're thinking about a prenup, how should they go about beginning the process? How do they vet out an attorney? What are they looking for?
Well, if you're thinking about getting a prenup, you probably need one. So if you think they're all, sorry.
Don't worry.
Check with, there's lots of online resources or just referrals to attorneys. I will tell you this because this is all I do is family law. Go to a family law lawyer. Someone who specializes in family law, and they can tell you what is available to be put in a prenup in your state and what isn't, because again, that varies from state to state, and gets you think. Usually the lawyers know all the kind of topics that are covered and give you some talking points with your intended, and don't wait until the week before the wedding to start the process.
That's probably one of the best takeaways. Awesome, Carolyn. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this great information about a really tricky subject. I'd love for you to let the listeners know, if there's a listener in your state that is looking for a family law attorney, how can they connect with you?
Well, our website is oldtownlawyers.com, OLDlawyers.com. And we have a lot of family law lawyers. We also have some trust and estates attorneys. So you can find us there. You can also Google me because I show up on a bunch of stuff because I've been doing this a long time. So that's where I am. You can find me on the web. I'm in Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free, and you'll make sure you never miss an episode of Millennial Money. You can also listen to all our episodes on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Pandora. Hey, you.
Yes, you.
Before you go,
We want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.